pledge to fellowship around the written word and to fellowship with one another. And our Father, we ask that as the word is taught now, every eye is open to see, every ear is open to hear. There is no confusion in any heart, but we enjoy the fullness of light, revelation, and insight in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, we give you praise, for we know it's done. For in Jesus' name I've prayed. Amen. All right, you can take your seat. Romans 1:16. Hallelujah. Romans 1:16. Are you here? Okay. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, right? For it is the power of God to salvation. You stop talking. Okay, one, two, go. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Habakkuk 2:4. Or the righteous shall exist that way by faith. Do you get that? The righteous shall be righteous because of his faith. That's what that's saying, okay? The just shall live. That word live there means to exist in a state, okay? So when you see a righteous person, he will be righteous because of his faith. That's what Habakkuk is saying, okay? So that is a prophecy concerning salvation through faith in Christ. So Habakkuk spoke concerning Christ. Do you see that? Habakkuk spoke concerning the Christ. Amen. So we've been looking at the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? And then we've seen quite a number of things so far. Yesterday we began by looking through Genesis 1 and 2 as well as 3. That was in the later part of the teaching, to see God's plan for man right from the beginning, right? Genesis 1:26 says, let us make man in our image. That has always been God's plan for man right from the beginning. And we said the image of God is who? Christ. Do you remember that? Okay, so when God says, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, he's saying, let us make man in Christ, right? Okay, so God set out to make that man that was in his mind, okay? But along the way, man fell. Genesis 3, the devil came and tempted man, right? And man disbelieved God's word. But you know, God has always had that in mind. That didn't take him by surprise, right? So he plotted, hallelujah, a good plotting or a good devising in order to bring man back to himself. What he did is known as the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Now, what does that exactly entail? That is God becoming a man, hallelujah, to save men. You know, he says that in Genesis 3:15, the proto-evangelium. I will create enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and our seed. Do you see that? Okay, he shall bruise your head and he shall bruise his heel. Okay, that is God's promise of salvation toward man, although man had sinned. Hallelujah. Okay, so God's plan right from the beginning has always been man in his image. Man fell, but God still carried out that plan in the man Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. That is God that became a man. He's not junior God. Amen. Jesus is not God junior. Say junior. He is actually God. Amen. That became a man. I told you why he's called Son of God, right? Because the Father went a step lower than himself, right? To become the Son, which is a man. Hallelujah. Okay, so Jesus is God made manifest in the flesh. We saw that yesterday, right? Okay, he is the image of the invisible God. So what did Jesus do concerning sin? He died, he was buried, and he was raised for our sins. And you know, that is the gospel. That is the good news that saves a man. Okay, I told you yesterday that the gospel is not about finances. Amen. The gospel is not about marriage. Does God want us to have good marriages? Huh? Yes. But the gospel is not about marriage. So it'd be funny for you to say, we have different messages. My own message is marriage. Another person comes up and says, my own message is music. That God called me to teach the church music. It's not God that called you. Amen? It is music school that called you. They would require you better in the music school than in church. Amen? Okay, we all have the same message. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying? We all have the same message. No one has a different message. Someone comes up and says, my message is faith. Amen? How to receive from God. No, sir. The message in the scriptures. I remember someone was telling me that. Okay, he said, I need to find my message. Okay, I told him, well, the message is already clearly stated in the scriptures. The message is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus for sins. Finished. Okay, that is the message. So anyone who is not preaching this, can we say he's preaching the gospel? Huh? Imagine if someone comes to church every Sunday. I remember, you know, someone I knew like that. Every Sunday, I mean every single Sunday, every single church meeting, is always teaching his church members about money. Every single service. I kid you not. Every single service. Then I told someone, I said, I'm very sorry for those folks. Because the truth is, how do you want to grow? Amen? How do you want to grow? Every service. You say, the secrets to financial prosperity. That's the topic. So the second day, the material. No, they're always tweaking it. Say, the wealth of the Gentiles. Hallelujah. Another time, you say, the financial 10 keys to financial breakthrough. Not those kind of messages. And now it says 15 ways to have your breakthrough. Money, 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 money. When is no accountant you're raising? They go into the world and preach accountancy to all creation, making accountants of every nation. So use accountants you want to raise. No! Hallelujah. Okay, how do you know a sound local church, a good local church, is where the gospel, which is what Christ did in his death, burial, and resurrection, is clearly and frequently expounded upon. Hallelujah. That is where you grow. Are you following what I'm saying? That is where you grow. Without the gospel, you do not grow. I told you the gospel is not basic. You know, some people say, well, the gospel is for those who just got saved, but after salvation, there are deeper things. No, sir. God has ordained it that the same message that saved the believer is the message, the same message that would grow him. You hear that? The same message that saved the believer is the same message that would grow him. Are you following this? So if you are not giving the believer that diet of the gospel is not growing. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Okay, so the gospel, understanding, having a firm grasp, of the gospel is very key. Okay, it's something we'll keep talking about over and over and over and over and over again. Keep searching, till we find out more about it. Then after we are done finding out more, we'll still search again. Hallelujah. Till we get the clearest and fullest picture of what the gospel says. Hallelujah. Of what Christ did in his death, burial, and resurrection. So, we concluded by saying that all God's I wills in the Old Testament was then fulfilled in what Christ did, and that fulfillment is seen in the giving of the Spirit, right? To indwell man. Okay, so the giving of the Spirit to indwell man is proof that God's promise in Genesis was fulfilled. Hallelujah. The giving of the Spirit is proof, is the evidence that God's promise in Genesis was fulfilled. God made a promise that he would save man, and he did save man, and he gave his Spirit as proof of that salvation. Hallelujah. Okay, so we have the Spirit as proof of salvation from God. But not only that, like I told you, also the coming of the Spirit was also the coming of power to the believer, right? Coming of ability to the same. We've seen all of that, right? No, signs now begin to follow that believer. He's endued with power, right? He receives power, right? Okay. He now has the things of the Spirit, right? 1 Corinthians 12. So we now began to look at how Paul explained that power. In 1 Corinthians 12, 13 and 14. We saw in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul begins by listing out the gifts, okay? Like we call them, of the Spirit. Three in classification according to our kata. The utterance gifts, the revelation gifts, the power gifts, right? The utterance gives tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy. Revelation gives word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. Power gives working of miracles, gifts of healings, and faith. Hallelujah. And then after that, he now goes on to talk about different ministries, right? By that same Spirit. Do you see that? So in that Spirit is a variety. Hallelujah. In that spirit, as you're looking at, it's one spirit. As you're looking at that spirit, you're seeing different gifts. As you're looking at those different gifts, you're also seeing different ministries. Hallelujah. As you're looking at those different ministries, you're also seeing different abilities. Hallelujah. Okay? Different manifestations in that same spirit. Amen. So, in the spirit is a variety of abilities. Hallelujah. Amen. And we said all those abilities are in the Christian, in the believer today. Amen. God gave those manifestations. We saw that in 1 Corinthians 12:7, right? The manifestation was given for what? For the profit of all. Hallelujah. That word means for the good of all. Are you hearing this now? For the good of all. So that was why the Spirit was given. That's why the gifts were given, for the common good. So, and I told you that if that is the case, that means that when I flow in the Spirit, I should know that it's not about me. Right? When I flow in the things of the Spirit, I should know that it's for the other party and for God. Come on, can I see your hand if you get that? Okay? When I flow in the things of the Spirit, why do you desire to flow in the things of the Spirit? Your desire should be to bless another as well as to point them to God. That is the point. And then we moved on to Paul. Let's look at that. So I'm not just quoting off it. Look at 1 Corinthians 12 again. Now, after listing all the gifts, all the ministries, right? Are you here? Okay, then verse 31, it says, but earnestly desire. Do you see that? The best gifts. And I told you that it's not that they are best gifts, like they are gifts that are better than others. Okay, but best here would mean better than. Do you get that? Or more beneficial than. That is, although all the gifts are good or are best, amen, they are gifts that are better than others because of what they do. Are you following this? Now, we'll find out what those gifts are right now. Okay? And that is why, now it says, and I show you a more excellent way. So, the more excellent way is because of the best gifts. Are you following this? So, for me, now, what was the more excellent way we saw in verse 13? In the last session, love, right? Love is the most excellent way to flow in the things of the Spirit. What does that mean? That means that I'm seeking the benefit of another, not to show off. That is why love is a more excellent way. I'm seeking the benefit of another and to, in order to point him to God, not to show off. That is why love is a more excellent way. Now, that is so because of the best gifts. So, if I am to walk in love, I will desire the best gifts. Do you get what I just said? Do you get what I just said? If I am to walk in love, remember, what is the most excellent way? Love, right? Now, if I'm to walk in love, okay, I will desire or earnestly desire the best gifts. So, by desiring the best gifts, I show I'm walking in love. Do you get that? By desiring the best gifts, that shows I'm walking in love. Now, the question is, what then are the best gifts? Or what then are the better gifts, right? Now, turn to 1 Corinthians 14. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 14. Are you there? Okay. Now let's read. It says, pursue love and what? Desire spiritual. Now remember in verse 13, I told you what love does, right? It says love is not puffed up, right? Love does not seek his own, right? Love is more concerned about the benefit of others, right? That means in flowing with the things of the Spirit, I'm thinking about another, right? Not myself, right? Okay. Then it says, pursue love. That is, do everything I've said in verse 13. Come on, do you get that? Do everything I've said in verse 13. And, do you see that? Desire spiritual gifts. Is it similar to 1 Corinthians 12:31? Huh? Okay, desire spiritual. But especially, do you see that? That you may prophesy. Hallelujah. Pursue love and desire spiritual, but especially that you may prophesy. So what is he doing here? He is now explaining what? The better gifts. Hallelujah. Okay? Pursue love so that you want another to get better, okay? How? Desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Now follow closely. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men. Do you see that? What is the gift of the Spirit are supposed to do? What? edify what? Others. Edify what? Men. Are you seeing this? Are you seeing this? Okay, then he says, he that does not speak, he that speaks in the trumpet does not speak to men, but who? To God. For no one understands, right? However, in the spirit he speaks mysteries. That's cover truth. The word mysteries there is the word musterion in the Greek. M-U-S-T-E-R-I-O-N. M-U-S-T-E-R-I-O-N. Musterion, which means covered truth. Okay? However, in the spirit he speaks mysteries. That is what he says will not be understandable to the human mind. Are you seeing this? So when it comes to tongues, who are the parties involved? Man and God, right? Other men do not benefit from that. Are you following what I'm saying here? Other men do not benefit from that action. But look at verse 3. But he who verse 3, prophesies, speaks what? Edification, hallelujah. And what? Exaltation, and what? Comfort to what? To who? To men. Can you say for the profit of men? Can you say for the common good of men? Are you seeing this now? So how do I walk in love? Remember, for what? The good of what? Others. What would that mean? Pursuing what? The best gifts or the better gifts. Now, why are they better? Because they will edify, exalt, and comfort men. So the gifts that focus more on the edification of other men are the best gifts. Can I see your hand if you get that? The best gifts are gifts that are more concerned with edifying other men. Then he says in verse 4 that he who speaks in a tongue does what? Edifies himself. That is for who? Himself. But he who prophesies, hallelujah, edifies who? The church. Do you see that? Edifies who? The church. Now look at verse 5. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even much more. Do you see that? Can we say even better? Can we say the best? Okay, that you would prophesy. For he who prophesies is what? Greater. Do you see that now? Do you see that now? Than he who speaks in a tongue or speaks with tongues. Unless. Do you see that? So he's not saying tongues is better than prophecy. Are you following what I'm saying here? It's better than prophecy in a context. Are you following this? In relation to something. Unless indeed he does what? Interprets. Now what would be interpretation of tongues? What he has said in tongues, it now makes known to the other party in what? Understandable or clear language. In a language that other fellow understands. So that what? He can be edified. You see that? That the church may receive what? Edification. Hallelujah. Do you see this now? So tongues is for who? Myself. And God. But prophecy is for who? Others. Now what would be prophecy? To simply speak forth inspiredly. Now remember, when I speak in tongues and I interpret, what is that? I told you yesterday. When I speak in tongues and I interpret, what is that? Is equals to what? Tongues plus interpretation of tongues equals to what? Prophecy. What does it mean to prophesy? Simple. To speak forth inspiredly. That is, you didn't think about what you said. Are you following what I'm saying? It came to you at the spot. By the power of the Holy Ghost. Okay, at the spot. That's prophecy. You know, that's what happens when you interpret. Because what did you do? You spoke in tongues at the spot. As you were speaking, what you were saying, the interpretation of it, you now said it afterwards. That's at the spot. You know, you never talked about that. Now, that speaking forth inspiredly, without having thought about it before, is prophecy. Now, that can happen both ways. Either you interpret, then you prophesy, or you simply just speak forth inspiredly. Do you get that? So I can speak words without having thought about them previously. At the spot, that's prophecy, right? Right? Or I can go about prophecy another way. Are you following this? That would be via what? Interpretation. Then I now speak in tongues. Then I interpret what I've said, right? It's still prophecy. So either way, it's still prophecy. Do you get that? So, but what is the difference between interpretation of tongues and prophecy? One will require speaking in tongues first. Right? Then interpreting what I've said, then that's prophecy. Speaking inspiredly, right? Are you sure you are here? Okay? Or I can just speak. Hallelujah. Okay? So that's what Paul is saying here. He's saying that for your tongues to now be equals to prophecy, okay, you will now have to interpret it. Do you understand now? So if I speak in tongues and I interpret, the one who prophesies, is he greater than me? It's the same thing now. Do you get? It's now balanced. Where is the balance? The other party. The other party. The other party. Does he understand what I've said to be blessed? That's the point. Do you get that now? So why does Paul say he that speaks in he that prophesies is greater than he that speaks in tongues? Because he that prophesies will edify everyone. Do you get why it's called better now? It's only better in a context in relation to edification. Do you get that? Okay, so but if I now speak in tongues, then I interpret, which is prophecy. I've made the balance back. I've now balanced up with the person prophesying. It's no longer greater anymore. Are you seeing this now? Are you seeing this now? Okay, but it all boils down to edification. It all boils down to what? Edification. Now look at verse 6. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless, do you see that? Do you see that? Unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching. Do you get that? Do you get that? If I come to you, now imagine this. Imagine if I come here today. Look at me. And then I say, Rabba Baya Shab Rabba. Have you seen that in some churches before? The pastor just comes and is speaking in tongues, and everybody say, Amen! 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 Have you seen that before? Oh, you don't go around very well. The pastor just comes to the altar and say, Rama Rabba Rabba Shataya Barabata, hey, Rabba. And the church is saying, Amen! No, that's not edifying anyone. Do you get that? Paul says in verse 6, how does it profit you? Do you see that? Unless I speak to you either by what? Revelation, by what? Knowledge. What will revelation be? Something is revealed. The revelation gives, right? Right? Okay. By what? Knowledge, right? Right? By what? Prophesying. That is what? In a known language. That's when you can now say amen. Are you following this? Okay. Or by teaching. So that's very interesting and very instructive. That means that even via interpretation of tongues, there can be teaching. Can I see you if you get this? So that means when I speak in tongues and I interpret, that's prophecy, right? Right. In that prophecy can also be teaching. In that prophecy can also be what? Knowledge. Something can be revealed. Are you following this? In that prophecy can also be revelation. So can we say this, that tongues seems to be the kickstarter of the other gifts? Can we say that? That tongues kickstarts the other gifts. So I speak in tongues, right? Then as I speak in tongues, I interpret, right? Which is what? Prophecy, right? Speaking inspiredly, right? Okay, now in that prophecy, that's what now speaking in a known language, right? What you understand, in that prophecy, something can now be revealed. So you see, we've moved now from utterance, right, to revelation. Do you see that? It's like tongues is the kickstart. Do you know the domino effect? You hit something and then it moves. Have you seen those things? It moves, it's eat the other. That's tongues. So that means if in a meeting we want to start flowing in the things of the spirit, we can actually start with tongues. Are you following this? Then tongues, from tongues, we move to interpretation. In that interpretation, something can be revealed. Maybe we now say, okay, there is someone here who is not feeling too well or who is sick, right? Then we now move on to what? The power gifts. Are you following this? The power gifts. Then that is what? Tongues or utterance gifts, revelation gifts, and then the power gifts at work together. But what was the kickstart? Tongues. Are you following this now? So that's what Paul is saying here in verse 6. Now look at verse 7. Even things without life. Now, this is a parable. Okay? Using imagery or imageries or story to point to a spiritual fact. Or spiritual truth, okay? Now, even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction, do you see that? In the sounds, how will it be known what is piped or played? You know, it's like a flute. How many of you played a recorder when you were young? I know it was, some people were forced to do that, right? Oh, young guys, I never learned that thing for some reason. I don't know. They put your hand here and all of that. You know, they say do re mi fa so, right? You play that. Now, you know, the way you know someone who is skillful, when he's playing is, you know, let's say he wants to play the national anthem. You know, there's a way it should sound. When you hear it, you say, okay, this is the national anthem. Why? Because the rhythms, the chords have been arranged in such a manner, right? That sounds reasonable. That's what Paul is saying here. Okay, if I come And then I'm playing. I mean, that does not make any sense. I say, what are you doing? That is national anthem. I say, national what? Maybe that's not for Nigeria. That's UAR. Amen. UAR. UAR national anthem. Amen. You know, that's what Paul is saying here. That is not melodious. That doesn't help anyone. That's tongues to the human mind. Can I see your hand if you get that? That's tongues to the human mind. It doesn't help him in any way. In fact, I can pray for you in tongues, but you are not edified in any way. Do you understand that? Because God is the only one who understands that, not you. Do you understand this now? Okay, but look at verse 8. For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, do you see that? Oh, prepare for battle. Now, here, Paul is referring to a custom back in those days. You know, when they want to go for battle, they will blow a horn. Bo, 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 bo. Now, there's a certain sound you play that is very strategic. You know, when the enemies are coming, you say, prepare for battle. Bo, 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 you blow it. But then imagine someone is now playing, arise, welcome. You know, when the enemies are coming, you say, oh, okay, that was, you know, you're at attention. Instead of you to know that, armies are coming. That's what Paul is saying here. Do you get that? I will want prepare for battle. Are you seeing this now? So likewise you. Do you see that? Do you see that? So the parable is for what? You. Do you see that? Unless you utter by the tongue. That is by your mouth. Not by tongues, though. By the tongue. That is your mouth. Words easy to understand. Can we say prophecy? Are you seeing this? Are you seeing this? What is Paul's issue with the Corinthian church? You are not edifying others. Are you seeing this? Remember, that was the issue. You are not edifying others. So this your rabba ba 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 ba, it's great though. It's great. You are edifying. But what about others? That's the point. Are you seeing this now? Are you seeing this now? Okay. It says, unless you utter by the tongue, words easy to understand. That is, you now interpret your tongue, right? Right? Prophecy, right? How will it be known what is spoken? I mean, that's clear. How will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air now. Calm down. Calm down. Calm down very well. Speaking into the air to who? To God? Huh? To who? To man. Do you get it down? That is man. What you are saying is unreasonable to who? To man. So don't come here and say, you see, the cessationists will come and say, you see, well, those people who are speaking in tongues today are speaking into the air. Calm down. Within a context, those who in the now, 1 Corinthians 14 is now talking about how to use the things of the Spirit in a gathering. Are you following this now? The context here is a gathering. So when we gather, this is how to use the things of the Spirit. Are you following this? The major gifts that should be present in the gathering are the gifts that edify, the best gifts, the better gifts, the utterance gifts. Are you not following this now? Are you following this now? The utterance gifts. So it says, you will be speaking into the air in the congregation. That is, others will not understand what you're saying. And look at verse 10. There are, now, another parable. It may be so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, do you see that? Do you see that? I shall be what? A foreigner. That is one who doesn't understand, right? To him who speaks. And he who speaks will be what? A foreigner to me. Do you see that? So your tongues, as much as it edifies you, doesn't edify another. Only you. You are the only one who benefits from that action, from that activity. So what does he say? You will sound. Now this is why he says you will be speaking into the air. Do you get that? You will be a foreigner to the others. For example, Rabba Shabra Degenevo Shabra Degenematus. Do you understand what I just said? Come on. Do you understand what I just said? Did he bless me? Yes. Did God understand what I just said? Yes. Did you understand it? Yes. Are you edified? Are you edified? Imagine I come and say, Rabba Baba Shabra Degenevo, Shabra Degenevo. Are you edified? Does that bless you? But am I edified? Am I edified? Does he bless me? Yes. Are you following this now? Are you following this now? So tongues is for who? Myself. Prophecy is for who? Are you here? Prophecy is for who? For who? Talk to me, come on. For man. Okay. So you sound like a foreigner to the other when you speak in tongues. Hallelujah. Okay? But tongues is, pardon me, prophecy is for the other. So that's why it answers in verse 12. Even so you. Do you get that now? Since you are zealous for spiritual gifts. Now remember, the Ephesian church. Pardon me, the Corinthian church. The church at Corinth. Did they flow in the things of the Spirit? Were they zealous for the things of the Spirit? Did they want to flow in the things of the Spirit? Did they desire the things of the Spirit? Why? What was the motive? Love? To show off, right? Okay, now see what it says in verse 12. Since you are zealous for spiritual, let it be for what? The edification of the church that you seek to excel. Hallelujah. Okay, so if I want to flow in the things of the Spirit, what should be my aim? What should be my motive? What should be my motive? Edification. Can I call that love? Can I say that's working in love? For another one's benefit? Yeah? You see that now? Now see verse 13. This is now working in love. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that what? He may interpret. This is working in love. Hallelujah. Let he that speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. Now, some people have come here and say that what Paul is saying here is that after you pray in tongues, pray that you will interpret. So now pray to God that God will give you an interpretation. That's wrong. Now, going to the Greek will help. The word that there in the Greek is the word ina. H-I-N-A. It means to the end that. Do you understand what that means? To the end that, or for the purpose of. To the end that, or for the purpose of. So what is it saying here? He that speaks in a tongue should speak in a tongue or should pray with the motive in mind that he will interpret. Do you get that? Do you get that? When in a garden, it will make sense to you now. When I'm in my room, do I need to interpret? When I'm praying in tongues in my room, do I need to interpret? Why? Is anyone there? Okay. Again, let's say we're in a meeting and we're leading the opening prayer. Do you need to interpret where you are? Do you need to interpret? We are, Bro Gabe is leading us in the opening prayer, right? And then we are praying where you are. Now, can I come to you and say, let me hear your tongues? I put my ear in you. Someone was telling me something that in their school, you know, people actually went to report them to the vice chancellor that, why is it that every time when you are praying, it's always tongues, that it's not fair now, that what about people that don't understand tongues? And I'm wondering, I said, calm down, because most times when I hear such things, I don't like to rush. I said, let me understand what you're saying. Are they saying that when it comes to edification, everyone speaks in tongues, like, you know, the Corinthian church, everyone is using tongues to just show off? Is that the issue? He said, no, that the issue is, well, everybody is praying in tongues, that why are you all praying in tongues? Like the way Bro Gabe is leading us, that why is everyone praying in tongues? That me, I can't understand. I'm wondering, was I praying to you? what do you mean by you can't understand? That's not for you. Amen? But the issue will now arise when I come here, and for the next 1 hour, all I'm doing is, and everybody saying, yeah, hallelujah! Hallelujah! You know, that's disorder. Okay? When it now comes, where does prophecy come in? When the third party comes in. Do you get that? Prophecy is for who? The third party. The other party. But for tongues is for only me. So now Paul says, in a gathering, be zealous for spiritual gifts unto edification, that the whole church may excel. Do you see that? Why do you seek to excel in spiritual gifts? For the edification of what? The whole church. Hallelujah. Then verse 13, it says, therefore let him who speaks in the tongue pray that he may interpret. Do you get this now? So when he is praying, what is his motive? Interpretation. Why? Okay, thank you very much. Now see verse 14. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But my what? Understanding is unfruitful. Now why is my understanding coming in here? Remember, this is in the context of what? Gathering. So what is my understanding for? Myself, others. Thank you very much. What is the conclusion then? What does my understanding is unfruitful? My understanding is not providing anything that will profit another person. Do you get that? There is nothing in my mind that will edify another person. Do you get that? Okay? Now look at verse 15. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit. Hallelujah. The word I will there in the Greek is in the middle voice. Now, in the Greek, we have the active voice, we have the middle voice, and we have the passive voice. Now, I'll tell you what that means. The active voice in the Greek means you are doing it. Please, you write this down, okay? The active voice means you are doing it. The middle voice means you are... Now, when you say you are doing it, it means you are doing it on somebody else. For example, let's say, I slap Sisatofumi. That's active voice. Are you getting what I'm saying? When I say I slap myself, that is the middle voice. Are you following this? When I say, I slap, no, there's something wrong there. active voice means it is being, okay, passive voice means it is being done to you. Okay, yes, it's correct. Now, passive voice means Sister Chelsea was slapped by me. That is passive. Do you get that? The action was done on her. Do you get this? Active voice means I slapped Sister Chelsea. Are you getting this? Middle voice means I slapped myself. Passive voice means Sister Chelsea was slapped by me. So the action is being done on her. Do you get that? Okay. Now, the middle voice here would mean you are the one doing it. Are you following this? So when he says, I will pray with the Spirit, that is in the middle voice. That is, I will cause myself to pray in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Are you seeing this? So who is in control? Who is in control? The person praying in tongues, right? Praying in the Spirit, right? Is it God? What does God do? What does the Spirit do when it comes to tongues? Does he speak for you? What does he do? Utterance is given. He gives you what? Utterance. Okay? So what do you do? You now cause yourself to speak. Hallelujah. It says, I will pray with the Spirit. And I will also pray with what? The understanding. That is in the middle voice as well. Do you see this? So who is in control? Me. So at any point I can switch. Hallelujah. Are you seeing this? I can switch. So that means when it comes to edifying ourselves, when we gather ourselves in groups of twos and threes, now you should not keep saying waiting for, you know, some people are like that. They wait for the interpretation at the end. Like I told you earlier, as you are praying, you remember why are you praying? Pray that what? He may interpret, right? Right? Then looking you are done, you cause yourself to interpret. Hallelujah. So interpretation of tongues actually is even more simpler than speaking in tongues. What is interpretation? Simple. Saying in English what you said already in tongues. Hallelujah. Saying in a known language what you said already in tongues. That is interpretation of tongues. Then it goes on, it says, I will sing with the Spirit. So we can actually sing with the Spirit. Are you seeing this? Now that is in the active voice. What does that mean? That means I'm the one doing it. Right? So I will sing in the Spirit. I will sing with the Spirit. And I will sing with the understanding also. Where is the understanding for? Or who is the understanding for? Thank you very much. So let's say we have the choir now and the choir comes. Can the choir sing in tongues? Calm down. Can the choir sing in tongues? Can we all sing in tongues together? Led by the choir. You see, it's big line. It's still the same thing. Can the choir lead us to sing in tongues? Yes. Now, can the choir now throughout the worship session sing in tongues? To edify us. Okay. Can the choir sing in tongues? Then while they sing in tongues, they get a song supernaturally to bless us. What would that be? Prophecy in song. Hallelujah. This, I told you that there's a skill to it. Right? That one, number one, prophecy in song. She has spoken in tongues, right? She has interpreted, but the only difference now, if somebody comes here, speaks in tongues, interprets, that's prophecy, right? If somebody comes, sings in tongues, interprets what he has sung in English, is this still prophecy? Yes. Do you get it now? The only difference between them is melody. That is why that word sing here in the Greek is actually psalmo. That word psalm, where you get the word psalm. Okay, which means melody. That's the difference. That's the only difference. One is normal speaking, just the way I'm speaking to you now, right? While the singing in tongues and singing in the understanding now has to do with what? Melody. Hallelujah. So say we can speak in tongues. Say we can speak in tongues. We can speak in the understanding. We can speak in tongues. We can speak in the understanding. We can also make melody in tongues. And we can make melody in the understanding as well. To bless others, to edify others. Hallelujah. Okay, now look at verse 16. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, can we say singing in tongues? That's singing in tongues, right? Who am I blessing? God, right? Right? Okay. I will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks. You see that? Since he does not understand what you say, for you indeed give thanks. Oh, hallelujah. Do you see this? So when I sing, what is the best way to give thanks? What is the best way? In the Spirit. You know, some people say, even if I have 10,000 tongues. Have you heard that before? There's a song like that, no? A Yoruba song. Sing it for me, let me hear. Kigbogbo aya mi abi. Is that it? Jekikiyo, is that it? Okay, what is that? Okay, if that if all my body is tongue, can you imagine? Remember I said this yesterday. If all my body is tongue, imagine. So you clothe tongue, you put your cloth for tongue. You walk on the floor, right, with your tongue, right? You put slippers on your tongue. See, that does not make any sense. See, it will still not be enough to praise you. No, you don't need that. Amen. You don't need all your body to be tongues, or to be a tongue, or you don't need all your organs to be tongues. No, you just need a tongue. Hallelujah. Amen. Singing in the spirit is enough. Paul says here that you give thanks well. I love the word well used here in verse 17. It means you give thanks with above reproach. Hallelujah. Are you hear what I said? Do you hear what I just said? You give thanks without reproach. That is, what you are doing cannot be, it's like saying, cannot be faulted. Are you seeing this? So if I want to bless God the best way, what should we do? You know, some people think that the best way is no, it says what? In tongues. Once you do it in tongues, that's the perfect way. You can never fault that. Do you hear what I'm saying? So that means if we come to church every Sunday and no one comes here and leads us in worship, in quotes, and all we do is sing in tongues, we have done it perfectly. Amen. Someone who is not trained in the things of the spirit will think, tongues, why are we always singing in tongues every time? Can't we give Oriki? Can't we put Oriki inside? Because he's not well trained in the things of the spirit. But if we come here and all we do is sing in tongues, that's all we do throughout the praise worship session. Okay, let's use as an illustration. That's all we do. You know, it's still perfect. It is without reproof, without faulting. That is tongues. So God has given us the perfect way to pray and the perfect way to bless him. Hallelujah. Amen. God has given us the perfect way to pray and the perfect way to bless him, and that is tongues. But look at what it says. But the other is what? Is what? Is what? Is what? Not edified. That's the only problem. Do you see this now? That's the only issue. The other is not edified. Now look at verse 18. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. Do you see that? Now that this is a very interesting statement. Do you think so? Remember I told you earlier on that the Corinthian church are 20,000. Now think about that and read verse 18. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. 20,000. Nebo. He said, Paul, how do you speak with tongues than 20,000 people? Now, you understand what he says here when you understand how the Corinthian church was. Remember what I told you about them. Why did they desire to flow in the things of the Spirit? To show off. So what does that mean? In their private life, they were not speaking in tongues. The only time they spoke in tongues was in church, to show off. That's what Paul means when he says, I speak in tongues more than you all. So Paul, both in his private life, right, and in church, right, was speaking in tongues. But for these guys, the only time, imagine that. Imagine you never speak in tongues till you get to church. No, in your house, you are like this. Nothing. But when you come to tongues, to show, pastor must, they must take. Then you start, to show off. That's what Paul is saying here. Are you following this now? Okay? More than you all. Verse 19. Yet in the church. Do you see this? So, speaking in tongues more than you all will be where? In his private life, right? Yet in the church, I would rather speak 5 words with what? My understanding. What is that? Prophecy. Hallelujah. That I'm a what? Teach others also than what? 10,000 words were in a tongue. So what is the issue? People come here and they try to twist Paul's words to seem like Paul was insulting tongues. If you see the way some people use 1 Corinthians 14, it's like they're trying to twist Paul's words to say that Paul was saying tongues is not really important. Is that true? Is that true? From everything we've seen, is tongues important? Very important. I mean, it kickstarts the other gifts. That's very important. But what was Paul's issue in 1 Corinthians 14? In the gathering. So in the gathering, what is the best gift? In the gathering, prophecy or trance. Here. Do you get it? Here. That is why it is the best here. Hallelujah. Are you following this now? Okay, now look at verse 20. Then it now says, brethren, do not be children in understanding. Do you get this now? Don't be immature. An immature person will use tongues to show off. Are you seeing this? An immature person will use tongues to show off. An immature person will not try to seek the benefit of others, only himself. That is a child. Are you seeing this now? In understanding, that is a person who is a child in understanding, doesn't know much. And you know, in some places, they will think that is a person that knows much. Right? You know, when in some places, you know, when, for example, like the illustration I gave you, was it is in last session, you know, of that woman that in the service, she's always shouting, yay! You know, and back then, we used to look at that like, ah, we used to admire, ah, this woman actually has a walk with God, though. She actually knows very much. You know, Paul is saying that's a child. That doesn't define anybody. That's disorderly. What is order? Order in a Christian meeting is putting the utterance gifts first. That is order in a Christian meeting. Putting the utterance gifts first. Particularly what? Prophecy. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you here? He says, however, in malice be babes. Do you see that? But in understanding, can we say understanding of the things of the Spirit? In context, what is it talking about? The things of the Spirit, right? Understanding of what? The things of the Spirit be what? Please, three of you, please just move here. Be what? Quickly. In understanding be what? Be mature. Do you see that? In the law, it is written, please look at your Bible, with men of other tongues and other lips, I will speak to these people. And yet for other, they will not what? Hear me. Now, pay close attention to this. He's quoting here from Isaiah 28, verse 11 to 12. So, in Isaiah, tongues is prophesied about. Are you seeing this? Isaiah prophesied about tongues. He says, with men of other tongues and other lips, I will speak to what? These people. And yet, for other, they will not hear me. So, this is a prophecy concerning tongues in Isaiah, that when tongues is spoken, the unsaved, let me find a way of saying this so that will make sense to you. Tongues will not profit the natural man. Do you hear what I just said? Tongues will not profit the natural man. He says, with men of other tongues, verse 21, and other lips, I will speak to these people. And yet for all that, they will not hear me, says the Lord. Now look at verse 22. Therefore, tongues are for what? A sign. A sign is what? A supernatural indication, right? To catch an attention, right? Not to those who believe. Do you see that? But to who? Unbelievers. Do you see that? That is, you guys are trying to use tongues to impress yourself. But that was not the point. Do you get it? Do you get it now? To unbelievers. But prophesying is for who? It's not for who? Unbelievers. But for who? Those who are believe. Hallelujah. You see this now? Therefore, if the whole church come together in one place and all speak with tongues, and they come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you are what? Out of your mind. You get this now? This was the prophecy in Isaiah 28:11-12. What does he say? With men of word, other tongues, verse 21, and other lips, I will speak to these people, and yet for other they will not hear me. That's what Paul is saying here. Do you see that? So when unbelievers mock tongues, it was prophesied about. Do you see this now? That's why in Acts 2, when they heard them speaking in tongues, what did they say? Are they not drunk, right? And then Peter had a son and said, no, we are not drunk, right? It's still the earlier hours of the day. So that was already prophesied about, that tongues, whenever tongues is spoken, the unsaved will see it as gibberish. Hallelujah. Amen. Then he says, but if all prophesy and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by her and is what? Convicted by her. Why? Because he understands. Thank you very much. And thus the secrets of his heart are revealed. Do you see that? Now when he entered, what was going on? Prophecy. But what happened? The secrets of his heart were revealed. So do you see, in prophecy was now revelation. Do you see that it follows after one another? So if you want to have revelation now, how do we start? We can start in tongues. Then from tongues, we now prophesy. That is, we say in English what we said in tongues. Then in that prophecy, we cannot have revelation. Something is now revealed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And from there, we can move on to what? The power gifts. You know, this is the order in the Christian meetings. But you know, in the world, the reverse is the case. Are you following what I'm saying? You know, in the world, the reverse is the case. You know, in some churches today, they think that the power gives in the church. Ha! You know, if I come here now, and I do like this, right? And this lectern goes up. What happens? What would you do? Will you still be looking like this? See here? Or someone's eye sockets are removed, right? Right? His eye sockets are removed, and I lay hands on him, and the eyes germinate back. See here? I remember I saw a meeting like that. The minister laid hands on someone who had a withered hand, and the hand grew back. Are you following? It grew back to the length of the other hand. Agbara niyo. That's power, right? And then you see that, and then you say, that is the power of God. Right? That is the greatest display, right? Of the power of God. But then Paul says in the gathering of the church, the reverse is the case. Tongues come first. Tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, the utterance gifts are the most powerful, are the greatest in the church. Because these ones edify everyone. Hallelujah. Do you know you can be healed and not be edified? Come on. Come on. You can be, a miracle can be worked for you, and because of what you don't know, you will fall into trouble that you need 10 more miracles. Am I right? So what is the greatest? Edification. Words. So at the end of the day, God put words first. Utterance. Then the revelation gifts, then the power gifts. But then when we go to the world, the reverse is the case. In evangelism, the power gifts now come first, the revelation gifts, and then the utterance gifts. Why? Because we are going to the unsaved. The unsaved are people what? Ruled by the senses. Do you get it now? They are ruled by the flesh. They need to see to believe. In the church, we don't need to see to believe. We already believe. Do you get it now? Do you get it now? And that's why utterance are the best gifts in the church. The utterance gifts. Hallelujah. 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 Say we flow in utterance. Say we flow in utterance. Mightily. Hallelujah. And thus the secrets, verse 25, of his heart are revealed. And so, falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. Do you see that? So even the utterance gift will benefit the unsaved. Do you see this? Hallelujah. Now look at verse 26. How is it then, brethren? Now I want you to pay very close attention here. How is it then, brethren? Whenever you come together, is that the gathering? Is that the gathering? So 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 13, and 1 Corinthians 14 is within a context. You see this now? The context of what? The gathering. The church meeting. Hallelujah. When you come together, each of you has a psalm. Hallelujah. Say, I have a psalm. 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 As a teaching. Say, I have a teaching. As a tongue. Say, I have a tongue. As a revelation. Say, I have a revelation. As an interpretation. Say, I have an interpretation. Hallelujah. You know what he says? He says, each one has. You know, this is a fact. This is a fact. Every time we come together, every one of us has a psalm. Now, a psalm here will mean what? Singing in what? The understanding what has been sung already in tongues. Do you get it now? Do you get it now? Remember, he had already told you, I was what? Sing in tongues and what? Sing in the understanding also. So, what is the psalm here? Prophecy in melody. Are you following this? So, this is not psalms. Amen. So people come and say, every time we come to church, everyone has a psalm. Then they go to the book of Psalms. No, this will be what? An inspired song. Are you following this? An inspired song. So when we come together, each of us has an inspired song. Hallelujah. Amen. So that means right now, Sanifesimi can give us a song. Supernaturally. She can sing in tongues and sing the interpretation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, each of us has an interpretation, has a teaching. Amen. A teaching. That means right now, Star Chelsea can stand up, speak in tongues, and then having spoken in tongues, she can interpret in understanding, and in what she has said, all of us will be taught. We'll be instructed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Each has a revelation. That means Sister Lorde right now can speak in tongues, right? Right? And interpret. And while she interprets, immediately she tells me something about me. Supernaturally. Do you see that now? Do you see that now? Utterance plus what? Revelation. Utterance plus what? Revelation. In the church, utterance plus what? Revelation. Those are the major. But utterance comes what? First. Hallelujah. Utterance, revelation, then power. Are you seeing this now? Has a tongue. Hallelujah. Say, I have a tongue. Has a revelation. Has an interpretation. But, now, whilst we all have, should we be disorderly with it? Huh? So now, because Sister Lolade can give us a psalm, should she, while I'm teaching, should she just stand up and say, Hey, Rabayate, Shaya Baya Baya Laya Yaba Yaya Ba. Thus says the Lord, thus says the Lord, thus says the Lord. Huh? I will walk her out. She and the Lord. Amen. That is disorderly. Right? What does Paul say? Let all things be done for what? Edification. Hallelujah. That is the point. Now, how would that happen? How would edification happen? Now, I love Paul. You know, Paul is very intelligent. You know, Paul. Paul. I've never. Kai. You know, see, do you know what this man is doing here? He's telling us how to flow in the things of the Spirit. That's what Paul is doing here. He's giving us the step by step. That is intelligence. Paul is intelligent. Now look at verse 27. It tells you how. How do we now flow? It tells you, it says, if anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be what? Two. Or at the most what? Three. Do you see that? He gave us number. So that means, as we are here right now, we can group ourselves in groups of twos and groups of threes. Are you following this? Are you following this? Okay. Now it says, each one what? In turn. What does that mean? That is, when one is talking, the other to keep quiet. You see, he's giving instructions. Now, you know, if the things of the Spirit are not within our control, Paul wouldn't give instructions. He would just say, let the Spirit of God take control. But he gives you instructions step by step to let you know that you are the one in charge. We are the ones in charge. Hallelujah. 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 Say we're in charge. Say we're in charge. Say we're in charge. Say we're in control. So that means that when, let's say three of them are group one, that means when Star Lolade is speaking in tongues, Star Chelsea has no right to say, while she's still speaking, I could not control the pastor. It was too much in my mind. No. Sister Lolade was keep quiet, even though it's burning in her heart. How do you say to Yoruba? Oh, do me. She will keep quiet till Sister Lolade is done. In turn. Do you see this now? Then when she's done, we'll say, Sister Chelsea, over to you. Not that when you're making your head, say, I could not control the pastor. Mm-mm. Over to you. Then she's done. She edifies you. Okay? Then when she's done, then the vestment takes over. Are you following this? In turn. Do you see that? And let one interpret. Do you see that? So while she speaks, she has interpreted, right? Then another will now speak, interpret. Then the other will now speak and interpret. Do you see that? Do you see that? And if there is no interpreter. Now, this is very interesting. It says, let him keep silent in church and let him speak to himself and to God. Now, what does it mean by if there is no interpreter? So you see, that means not every believer can interpret these tongues. Because it says, if there is no interpreter. But remember, I told you in verse 13, right? That he that speaks in tongues should speak to the what? End. That he interprets. So who is the interpreter? Him. The person speaking. So what does it mean here when he says if there's no interpreter? Simple. If the person speaking now is unintelligent in the things of the Spirit, so much so that he cannot interpret yet. Do you get that? Let him keep speaking in tongues till he now gets an interpretation. Do you get what I just said? Let me explain to you. It will make sense now. Let's say this is the group. Alright? Now, who is the interpreter? All of them, right? All of them can interpret, right? Okay? So, if Stalolade is speaking in tongues, now, do you know that there are sometimes when we speak in tongues and that's a believer's meeting, okay? What I'm describing now. And then a believer's meeting, and then there are foreigners and strangers to the commonwealth of Zion who come in. And they don't understand what is going on. And you are grouped with them, and they are just speaking in tongues. They are not saying anything. That's if there's no interpreter. Do you get it? The person speaking does not know how to interpret. Now, does he say keep quiet? No. Keep speaking. That's, you don't tell them keep quiet. Mm-mm. Keep speaking in tongues. Then we will now, after the two of them are done, let's say Star Chelsea is the person that doesn't understand. After two of them are done, you now say, oh, yeah, Star Chelsea, over to you. So start speaking. Right? So start speaking. Remember, interpretation is what? Saying in a known language what has been said in tongues. So if there's no interpretation like that, what should you do? Speak in tongues more. Do you get it? The tongues is the kickstarter or the kickstart. Do you get it? So if there's no interpretation, it means you just need to speak some more. Okay, till more utterance comes. Do you get that? Is that clear? Okay. So back to this now. If there is no interpreter, let him be keep silent in church and let him speak to himself and to God. Keep silent in where? In church. That means what? He's not talking to others, right? But is he speaking in tongues? Do you see? Let him speak to who? Himself and to who? To God. What will that be? Tongues. Thank you very much. And look at 29. Let two or three prophets speak and let the others judge. Now, prophet here simply means those who speak inspiredly. It's not the office of the prophet. Are you following what I'm saying here? It's not the office of the prophet. Remember, I told you every believer can prophesy. Right? So here he's talking about prophecy within our volition, within our will as Christians. Okay? All of us together. So let two or three, you can say two or three who speak inspiredly. Are you getting that? Speak. And let the others judge. And let the others judge. Do you see that? Do you see that? So that means when we now gather, let's say again, these three are the group. While Sister Lolade is speaking, the other two will now be listening to what she's saying. Now that's prophecy, right? And then they are judging what she's saying. Are you following this? What would that mean? That means they are taking down notes. They are listening, paying attention. And also, they are also listening to ensure, you know, in that activity, the discerning of spirit is also there. Because you're also listening to find out if what this guy is saying is actually inspired by God or someone else. Amen? For example, let's say in that gathering now, Lord, they just tell us that Chelsea, you will go to hell. Thus says the Lord. Hell is your home, and earth shall be your portion. For you shall go and you shall come into the deepest part of the abyss. And you shall be stabbed 10 times at the back and in the front. And then you people are writing, yes, this is deep. And you are writing it down. No? You say, wait, no. Now you see that what are you supposed to do? Judge. So that shows you that when prophecy comes, don't just say, it's God, yeah? It's God, yeah? You are also to pay attention to the words. Okay? Now, how do you know if it's from God or not? Remember, no one speaking by the Spirit of God will call God, Christ's word accursed. Do you get it? So what does that mean? The words must glorify Christ and his work. Do you get that now? So you can judge prophecies, but you cannot judge tongues. Why? Because you don't understand tongues. Are you getting this now? But you can judge prophecy. Tongues is between the person speaking and God. If he's faking it, it's between him and God. Amen? It's not your concern. Amen? But the one you can judge is his prophecy. Are you here? Are you here? Okay? Now look at this. Verse 30. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. Do you see that? Do you see that? So that means we can actually take turns. That's what he's saying there. That means if Sister Lolade is speaking and then she's done, right? And something is now revealed to Chelsea, then Chelsea can start. While you now remain silent. Don't say, because I was the first person to talk. Then I can be talking when she's talking. You now keep quiet. Do you get it? Do you get it? Now something has been revealed to her. Then she now speaks. Do you see the order and precision to it? Imagine if this was taught in many churches. You know, there will not be disorderliness when it comes to the things of the Spirit. Order. Order. One can speak while another keeps quiet. While the other one is speaking, the other keeps quiet. Then over and over, over and over, over and over like that. Hallelujah. Amen. It says, for you can all speak one by one. Hallelujah. Do you see that? You can all prophesy one by one. Do you see this? That all may learn and all may be encouraged. Now look at verse 32. Very beautiful. Let's read it together. 1, 2, go. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you know what it means to be subject? Do you know what it means to be subject? Under your control. Do you see you are the one in charge? Do you see that now? Do you see that now? If we're not in charge, he would have said the spirits of the prophet are under our subject to the Holy Ghost. If that is the case, then we're in trouble. We're in big trouble. Because anyone can just do whatever he likes and say it's the Spirit of God. But if I'm in control, that means even if the fire is burning in me, I can keep quiet. I can just shut up. That means even if I know something about someone supernaturally in the meeting, that means I don't have to say a word about it unless I'm given the chance to. Why? Because it is under my volition. It is under my will. Hallelujah. So the things of the Spirit are subject to my will. The things of the Spirit are subject to my volition. I'm in control because the Lord has made it so. Hallelujah. Amen. Now look at 33. For God is not the author of confusion. Hallelujah. Do you see this? He is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. So whenever there's confusion, is God there? You know, this is a very easy way to spot discernment, to discerning as well. Now, remember, confusion in what? The manifestation of what? The utterance gifts. So if someone is disorderly with the utterance gifts, can we say God is there? Can we? Is God the author of confusion? Okay. Now look at 34. It says, let your women keep silent. Hallelujah. That's half of this church already. Oh, you don't get that. That we are in soup. That means all of you can talk. It says, keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted. You see that? Not. Are you hearing? Not permitted. Why are you laughing? This is serious. So you are not permitted to speak. You see that? But they are to be submissive. Hallelujah. So some people say to the men, so a brother can just come and meet a sister in church and say, shut up. You are not supposed to speak. Try that to my wife. I will knock your head. You will reduce height. Times 10. Say, shut up. Don't you know the woman is supposed to be submissive? Eh? Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. As the law also says, and if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands. That's the answer. 35 is the answer of 34. Let the women be silent in the churches as regards to their husbands. Are you following this? They are not permitted to speak in the churches as regards to their husbands. Let them be submissive. Women there in the... Now, that's a bad translation, because in the Greek, the same word for women is the same word for wives. So the translators had the opportunity to either say women or wives, but they wrote here women. That's the cause of the issue. Imagine if they wrote wives. Will it make more sense? Okay. Keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak in relation to their husbands, but they are to be submissive in relation to their husbands, as the law also says, in relation to their husbands. And if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is shameful. You see that? For a woman to speak in church. Now that word speak, that's I will say something now that will help you understand. The word speak there in the Greek is the word laleo. L-A-L-E-O. Laleo. L-A-L-E-O. It means to chatter. Like a chatterbox. You know, someone who is a talkative. It's actually where you get that English term. La 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 la. I'm serious. That's where you get it from. Laleo. The English people, I told you, they copied it, right? They copied a lot of Greek. So they actually copied that from Greek. So what is Paul saying here? Simple. Now, in the church, we all have the utterance gifts, right? We all have the revelation gifts, right? We all have the power gifts, right? Now, a woman now says, eh? Now, remember, I told you in 1 Corinthians 11 that the woman is supposed to be submissive to her husband, right? The only time the woman is allowed to be submissive, okay, when she goes lower than herself, is for her husband. That is what God's word teaches. Not in medicine. In medicine, she can advance even more than the men. Right? Women have done that already. Right? I mean, right now in Nigeria, there are over 5 female MDs or banks. So what are you talking about? The only time when the woman now comes low, that means even though she's an MD, when it comes to her husband, not every man in church, do you get that? Her husband, then she submits to that one. Do you get that? Be under his authority. You already said that in 1 Corinthians 11. Right? Then in 1 Corinthians 12, he now tells them that you all have the same gifts. You cannot speak in tongues. You know, a woman who is not careful, you say, so we all have the same thing. So why am I submitting to my husband? Do you get that? Then she now use that as a privilege or opportunity to usurp the authority of her husband. Then you say a woman, let's say she's seated beside her husband. They're supposed to have edify one another, right? And then she says, Ramayama Namasaprodo. Thus says the Lord, some men are useless. Very useless men. Very, very useless. They cannot provide for their family. Always, every time, Chelsea, Chelsea, Chelsea. They will never provide. Thus says the Lord, become responsible. Very irresponsible man. Become responsible. you know, she has usurped the authority of the husband. She is like, she found a loophole. She tries to find a loophole. The things of the Spirit are not supposed to be used for that. But she has now found a loophole. That's why Paul says, be silent. Silent there does not mean don't speak at all. Okay? Silent there means control what you say. Do you get that? Control what you say in relation to your husband in the churches. So even though we have all things the same way, right? The wife must realize, okay, that her husband remains her husband. So even in the things of the Spirit, that means, you know, that's very interesting. That means that if the wife is the pastor, think about that. If the wife is the pastor, you know, the husband, you know, that's a very tricky situation, don't you think so? Because the husband is supposed to submit to her as a pastor, right? Right? The church is supposed to submit to the pastor, right? Right? The leadership of the pastor. But then also, she's also to submit to him as a husband. So how do we gauge that? Huh? That's something to think about, right? How do we gauge that? Then maybe at home, you know, well, the issue will be with the man, I believe. You know, if the man is someone who is wise, if I'm the husband in that situation, I would still at home call her pastor. That's me. Because I'm wise. I know that this one is my wife, but she's my pastor. So I give myself some sense. She can also bless me. Right? So in that kind of situation, it would depend on the, you know, the parties, you know, within that institution. But here, Paul is saying that the wife must not use the things of the Spirit to usurp the husband's authority. That's simply what this is saying here, okay? Not saying that women cannot teach in church. However, I mean, there were women who taught in the early church, right? I remember we've looked at this already, right? We looked at that in DBC. We'll look at it again soon. Amen? Look at it again. We'll add more to that. Hallelujah. No, there were women who taught in the Old Testament. We see, man, Deborah, right? Miriam, right? No, who taught? No, in fact, in Jesus' ministry, there were women who were called ministers. They ministered together with him. You know, Paul as well, when he would talk about his fellow laborers in the gospel, he mentioned women. No, Priscilla was a woman, right? She was the wife of Aquila. Hallelujah. So, you know, women can teach and women should teach. There is nothing that bars. The only restriction on the woman is when it comes to her husband. That is the only restriction in God's word. That is when she now submits or goes lower. But aside that, a woman can teach better than a man. Okay, she can. If she puts the same labor study into it, she can teach better. So that God said, pastors are only men. Only men should be pastors. Women can be pastors too, okay? Is that clear? Alright. And look at 36. Or did the word of God come originally from you? Or was it you only that it was reached? Or was it you only that it reached? Pardon me. If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things that are right to you. That the things that are right to you are the commandments of the Lord. Hallelujah. Do you see this? So if you claim you are spiritual in the church, obey 1 Corinthians 12, 13 and 14. That's how we know the spiritual. Are you seeing this? Are you seeing this? Orderliness. Orderliness. That is the reason for 1 Corinthians 12, 13 and 14. Orderliness with the things of the Spirit. Don't use the things of the Spirit to claim this orderliness. Are you following this? You can be orderly. We can rejoice. Right? Come on, rejoice. Rejoice now. Now sit down back. Take your notes, put it on your lap and keep writing. Do you see that? Orderly. It's not that I say, hey, rejoice. Hey, you not keep rejoicing. After we are done already. The power is still in me. That's disorderly. Do you get it now? That is no longer spirituality anymore. Okay? Are you seeing this now? Alright. So let them acknowledge that the things I say are the commandments. Now speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. Come on, speak in tongues. Louder. Louder. Now go lower. Just low. Now very loud. Down low again. Still keep speaking low. Loud. Now stop. Low. Speak. Speak low. Now loud, speak. Now stop. You see, Emi did not move. Do you see? It's within your control. That is the point. Do you get it? That is what 1 Corinthians 12, 13 and 14 was to teach. You are in charge. So stop acting silly. You are in charge. You know, we can speak in tongues, in the praying, stop. Then move to power gifts. Hallelujah. Then come back again to revelation. Are you following what I'm saying here? Then go again to utterance. We are the ones in charge. Hallelujah. So he says, anyone who thinks is spiritual, let him obey what I've said as the commandment of the Lord. Now look at verse 39. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly. Remember, I told you, desire the best gifts, right? So now he's telling you the best gifts. Desire what? Earnestly to what? Prophesy. Do you get it now? The utterance gifts are the best gifts. Why? Because they edify. I can heal somebody without him being edified. You know, you can cast out a demon from someone and you leave him in a state that 50 more demons will enter him. So edification is the best in relation to what? Edification. Hallelujah. And do not forbid to speak with tongues. This is very clear, right? Do not forbid to speak with tongues. Let all things be done what? Decently and what? In order. That's the point. Decently and what? In order. I love that word, in order. It means one by one. One after the other. Or in an orderly fashion, or in an orderly arrangement. So we can have that, right? Can we have that? Can we have that? Can one person speak in tongues while others keep quiet? Can that person stop and another takes that place? Okay, in a meeting, can we group ourselves into three and everyone is not speaking at once? Can two keep quiet while one speaks? That is what? Decently and in order. So what God did for us in Christ, not only did he save us, he gave us his ability. And then he also gave us the ability to use those abilities whenever we want. Why? So that there will be no disorderliness in his church. Hallelujah. Because God is not the author of confusion. Imagine a church where we all have the same gifts. You know, without order, it's going to cause a lot of issues, right? You know, we all have, the way we are sitting, we all have the same gifts. Think about that. You know, if there is not some form of order, it's going to cause a lot of issues, right? Because where there is, remember I told you, where the knowledge of a thing is not known, there will be an abuse. So that's why 1 Corinthians 12, 13 and 14 was to bring back order to the Corinthian church. Okay, but we thank God we in Nigeria today are learning from it. Amen? We can always have order in the things of the Spirit. So we're going to do that now, okay? We're going to practice what we've learned all through this teaching, okay? So we're going to group ourselves now in a group of threes and then twos, okay? And we're just going to edify one another. Okay, so you speak, what you're doing, you understand what you're going to do, right? Do you? Okay, so you speak in tongues. Hold on.